To a happy Lunar New Year. But I'm looking forward, and I think we all should be looking forward to that glorious new year when the Lord Jesus Christ will come and usher in that millennium, 1,000 years reign on this earth. Okay, please turn your Bible now to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and we have here the account of the adulterous woman. Here is a member of the Jewish community, a lady, a woman who was taken, arrested because she committed a very grave sin, and that is adultery. Why did God inspire John to record this incident here? Some people have said that this shouldn't be here. Why? Because some even criticize that Jesus Christ was too lenient and Jesus Christ condoned sin in that sense. Well, we are going to look at it. I do not think so. There are precious lessons, very important lessons for us to learn here from this passage. Now, first of all, let us look at the details of this passage. He said here that Jesus went early in the morning, maybe 6 a.m., 7 a.m. Between that, he came again into the temple. Jesus came again into the temple. In chapter 7, you will find that Jesus was in the temple teaching the people in the temple. And then at the end of his message, everybody went home and Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Probably when Jesus Christ went to the Mount of Olives, he was praying that night. And then the next day, early in the morning, probably 6 a.m., he went into the temple again. And all the people came unto him and he sat down and taught them. So all the people, I believe a lot of them were Jews, because the place was in the temple. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. The scribes and Pharisees, they were the religious leaders of that time. The scribes were the people who knows about the law of Moses to the very detail, the iota and all the tittle, they know it very well. And the Pharisees also, they know the laws, and they were the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the people, the Jewish people all look up to the Pharisees. These people are holy men who knows the law, and they are holy. All right, so they arrested this woman taken in adultery. In the very act. One interesting fact is that they only got the woman. What about the men? In the very act, so they let the men off, and they caught the woman. Now, what is the reason? Because I didn't believe that at that time, you know, the woman would despise. You know, the Pharisee would pray every day. He'd say, Lord, I thank you that I'm not born a woman. And that is precisely what it was. And so women would despise at that time. And so they let the men off. They caught in the very act, early in the morning. Probably they went around and looked for someone to catch, to arrest, and then to bring to the Lord Jesus Christ, because they have some motives. We will find out what were the motives. Already stated here, what were their motives? They brought him before the Lord Jesus Christ, before all the people in the midst of them. It says here that they want to trap Jesus, to trick Jesus. All right, this is the details here, brought in adultery. And then they say, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. They got a cheek to say that, you know. The Lord just turned around and say, where's the man? Now Moses in the law commanded us, and said, they quoted the laws. Well, they quoted two passages from the law that they know that the Lord Jesus Christ knew these things. They don't have to quote that. And this, they said, tempting him. What was their reason? That they might have to accuse him. But Jesus was silent. Jesus kept silent. He stooped down and then with his finger wrote on the ground. Well, the Bible did not tell us what he wrote on the ground. So let us not speculate, you see. Let's not speculate. But there is one passage in Jeremiah chapter 17 which says that the sins of the Israelites were written on the ground. So maybe Jesus Christ was stooping down and start writing the sins of the people. Maybe. But let's not speculate, okay? So let's not speculate there. And so when they continue asking him, they keep on asking him, and Jesus stood up again, and Jesus said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. All right, that is the incident. And then after that, the Lord Jesus Christ, one by one, They were convicted of their sins, a prick in their heart. The Bible says that in verse 9, and they heard it being convicted by their own conscience. Every one of us have conscience. We are born with a conscience, that innate ability in us to know what is right, what is wrong. And when it is wrong, our conscience will give us no peace, and we have that guilt sense in us. And especially these Jews, they know about the law. And so their reference, their conscience is a reference to the law of God, they know. And so when Jesus Christ says, those who have no sin, you cast the first stone, they were pricked in their heart. Suddenly they remember their conscience tell you, that day, you know, you were thinking about this thing and then it was against the law. They were pricked, they were convicted. Maybe someone to stoop down, squat down to pick a stone, and then suddenly he remembered, you there? And the conscience tell you, so drop the stone. And then walk away. Everybody left. Everyone left. Only Jesus was left alone. And Jesus is the only one who was sinless. Jesus was the only one who could stoop down and take a stone. And has the right, according to the law of Moses, to stone that lady to death. And Jesus said, lift her up and ask her, where are your accusers? They are no more. They are all gone. And so Jesus said to her, woman, where are they? And she said, no man, Lord. She called Jesus Lord. Master. The word Lord here means God. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now let's first of all look at the character, the Pharisees. The first thing I think we learn is about the scribes and Pharisees. These holy people. Holy men. But you see, they are dishonest. They are very dishonest. They are prejudicial, unfair, dishonest, and they lack integrity, because when they arrested the woman, they let the man go off. According to the law of Moses, both of them had to be arrested. Both of them are to be judged. Both of them are to be stoned to death. And therefore, they were dishonest, prejudicial, they lack integrity. And this is something that we must not emulate. Some holy men are, it's possible that when the holier we become, all of us should be holy. I'm not saying that we should not be holy, okay? We all should be holy, because God commanded us, be ye holy as I am holy. And every moment of our life, the Holy Spirit who dwells in us is transforming us, making us more and more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will know that you have changed. You will know that you are becoming better and better. When we become better and better spiritually, when we become holier than other people, we will realize it. We know that. Let us not be like the Pharisee. Becomes judgmental. And then go around with eyes looking at people and accusing them. And judging them. And then worst of all, we become biased. When our good friends sin, we tend to say, okay. When our enemies sin, oh, we give no chance. We should not. Like the Pharisees, let the man go because they are men. And they arrested the woman. And women were despised at that time. And they used the woman, disgrace her, put her in the midst of all the people, and then tell the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, this woman committed adultery. Must not. To trick the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says here to trick the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's wrong, that's bad. So, we must be holy. So don't just say, all right, look, Jesus Christ criticized these Pharisees are like that. I don't want to be holy. Because if you're holy, become like this. No, you must be holy, but don't become like that. Like some people, you know, I think just an illustration, you say, you see, jack of all trades, master of none. Sometimes we use that proverb. No, jack of all trades, master of one. What is my point? Be holy, but don't be like the Pharisees. And let the Holy Spirit change us and transform our lives. Be holy as God is holy. All right. The Pharisees brought the woman. Were the Pharisees and the scribes totally wrong? No, they were not wrong. They were not wrong in one respect, that truly this woman committed adultery, and according to the law of Moses, she, and in fact they should have brought the man also had to be stoned to death. I mean, the judgment is that. Leviticus chapter 20 verse 10 says, and the man that committed adultery with another man's wife, even he that committed adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress, the man and the woman, shall surely be put to death. And Deuteronomy chapter 22 verse 22, very easy to remember, 22:22. If a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall both of them die. Both of them die. Both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so shall thou put away evil from Israel. So the sins of the people have to be dealt with. Either if the community is going to progress, is there going to be peace, there's going to be order, there's going to be harmony, there's going to be happiness, then the sins of the people have to be dealt with. And God gave those laws in order to maintain peace and order. When God gave those laws to the Israelites, when they were in the wilderness, 2 million of them, and God gave these wonderful laws, and the laws, if they keep those laws, if they keep those laws, there'll be freedom for them. There'll be happiness, harmony, order. And God gave them. And so, sins of this nature, according to the word of God here, they have to be put to death. Capital, it's a capital punishment for these sins. Well, we do not know which one was married or which one was not married. Anyway, it is adultery. And so they both have been put to death. But what was wrong? Was there anything wrong with their action? Yes. What was wrong? They used the woman not because they want to stone her to death. No. They knew the law. In fact, they knew the law. They should have already arrested the woman and the man and then got them and then stoned them already. They knew the law. You post to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ also knew the law. Why you ask me? You know. Jesus Christ could have, you know the law. Go ahead and do it. Because if Moses says so. So the fact that they allowed the man to go away and just arrested the woman shows that their intention, their motive was not right. They had ulterior motive. They used the law of Moses to cover up their ulterior motive, their real intentions. And what is their real intention? To trap the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe because of that, they let the man off, you see. So they use religion, being religious, to cover their real bad intentions to trap the Lord Jesus Christ. In what way to trap the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, their question is a very subtle question. Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Moses in the law. The law of Moses was held with high regard by all the Jews. Every Jew from young was taught the law of Moses. Even today you go to Israel and they would learn the law of Moses, the Pentateuch, you know. And they are taught to learn by heart. According to one of my professors in Grace Theological Seminary, my Greek professor, and he went to Israel and he had the opportunity of visiting one religious school in Israel. And then the teacher called one boy to stand up and he recited the book of Deuteronomy by heart. Of course, he did not recite the whole book, you know, it would be too long, but he just begins. So from what chapter the professor says, so he start to recite it. They were taught, they knew the Lord of Moses. And these people are the scribes and Pharisees, they knew. The people there were, they know. So this was in the temple and you have all the religious, the Jews were gathered there and Jesus Christ was there early in the morning teaching them. And so when the Pharisee says that this woman was caught in the very act of adultery, and when they quoted that Moses said this thing, all the other Jews there, they give a nod. Yeah, 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 yeah. All the men there. That's right, they knew. And so they posed to Jesus. Wow. What is Jesus going to answer? They want to trap Jesus. In what way is that? What is the trap? Where is the trap? So Jesus kept silent. Let me tell you what is the trap. If Jesus said no, the charge. If Jesus were to say no, then Jesus would be charged for being a false Messiah. Because the scribes and Pharisees rightly quoted the Mosaic law that a person who committed adultery should be stoned to death. And if Jesus replied in the negative that she should not be stoned to death, then he would contradict the law of Moses, which was given by God. Then Jesus, you are not a true prophet of God. You are not the true Messiah. You see? Because Jesus said, I am the Messiah, I am the Christ. To his disciples, he asked, and Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. And if Jesus says no, then you are a false prophet. If you are a true prophet, then you will agree with Moses' law, the Mosaic law, then you will say that the Mosaic law should take its course, and this woman should be sentenced to death by stoning. So Jesus kept silent. Now, this charge has another twist. Suppose Jesus Christ answered, yes, stone her. Wow. Then Jesus will be accused of being a rebel. The moment say yes, then they will go and report to the Romans. Because you cannot, according to the Roman law, a person commit adultery, you cannot stone that person to death. So if Jesus say, yes, stone her, then they would quickly go and tell the Roman authorities, the government there, you see this man, he's a rebel, he went against the law, the Roman law. He's a rebel. So if Jesus said no, Jesus will get into trouble. If Jesus say yes, also get into trouble. You see, these Pharisees are terrible people. Their questions is full of poison. Yes, wrong. No, wrong. You get caught. But they are dealing with one person who is not only a man, but he's God. He can see them, and God is even cleverer. This kind of question is just like last time they asked the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, should we pay tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay tax to the government? Wow, isn't it? So if Jesus say no, he's a rebel. If Jesus say yes, then he say, you see, this is no friend of the Jews. He asked us to pay taxes. They don't like all the Romans. So you ask us to pay tax to Caesar. Then you are no friend of the Jews. And if you just say no, they go and tell the government, you are a rebel. Exactly the same kind of question posed to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's full of poison. What did Jesus Christ answer that time? Bring me a coin. Whose inscription is here? Caesar. Well, this belongs to Caesar. Give back to Caesar. And they got nothing to say. They got nothing to say. The answer was good. Was good. Jesus is a friend still of the Jews and no rebel of the Romans. And you see, in this case also, Jesus replied the same. Wonderful. Our Lord is great. And so that was the trap. They were dishonest. They were malicious. Second lesson, we must not be like these people. Sometimes we use the holy garb. You know, we wear holy garb, maybe literally or even spiritually. But intentions inside is bad, cruel, wicked, unkind. I hope we are Christians, don't do that. I hope we or our leaders in the church also do not use that. Do not use the name of God. Do not use in the name of religion. Do not use the name of Jesus Christ or in the service of God. All these things, all these good reasons, wonderful reasons, holy reasons, to trick someone with bad intention. So the next one we want to learn is look at the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the answer? So they all were pricked, they went off. Yes, I believe here that the Holy Spirit, because Jesus Christ spoke the word. Anybody who has no sin, you cast the first stone. And it is the word. I think men are so wicked that they will stoop down to pick up. But it is the work, because God says it and the Holy Spirit then convict them of their sin, that they have no strength even to pick a little stone to throw at that woman. They were pricked in their heart and they left on their own accord. That's the sovereign will of God. Who is in control? Jesus Christ. You see, they want to trap him. They want to think that they can have the upper hand on Jesus Christ. No. They refuse to recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the Son of God, as deity, as God himself. But here, God was in control. Jesus Christ is God, and he was in control of the situation. And Jesus Christ, see the power of God's word? He just said this. You have no sin? Anyone you think you have no sin at all, you cast the first stone. And precisely that is how the Mosaic law, how they should implement the Mosaic law. So during those days, when they cast a person to death, that is appointed by God. The priest or the judge was appointed by God. Although he's a sinner, he's appointed by God. He acts on behalf of God. And here God himself is in their midst. And God says that. So I believe here that the Holy Spirit, I think they were ready only to cast the stone and stone the girl to death, the woman. But because the Holy Spirit pricked their heart, their conscience, each one of us here, they left. So the woman was left with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn thee. Was Jesus contradicting the Mosaic law? No. Then why did Jesus not pronounce the judgment on her? What was the basis on which Jesus Christ could say that I don't condemn you? You see, precisely when it's said this way, that people say that, you see, Jesus condoned sin. No. I think the only real and satisfying answer is that Jesus Christ did not pronounce judgment against this woman because of the cross upon which he was about to bear the full penalty of God's wrath against every sinner. That's the basis. Neither do I condemn thee. Because Jesus Christ knew that his mission to the world was to lay down his life for his sheep, to lay down his life for the sins, for the sinners, for sinners of this world. He's going to pay the full penalty of God's wrath, which was embodied in the Mosaic law, the holiness of God. Neither do I condemn thee. In the eyes and the sight of God, there is no time frame, you know. It's all in the dawn. That 2,000 years or whatever years that they have there, the history of man is all present in the dawn. Neither do I condemn you, because the Lord Jesus Christ is going to die on the cross for her. So that is the only basis. He did not give forgiveness easily. No. Okay, let go. Never mind. I don't condemn you. No. That sin had to be paid. She was not stoned. She has to be stoned to death. But who died in her stead? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for her. So Jesus Christ knew that. Like all of us, we have sinned. We all deserve death. All of us in death row. At one time when we did not accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we were in death row. We deserve death for our sins. And how can God just forgive us? Every time you tell people, you know, people know all of us are sinners, and then suddenly you tell them, and then you tell them that I believe Jesus, I'm going to heaven, and then he says that you don't believe in Jesus, you cannot go to heaven. Why? I say, how? You mean you are better than me? You are holier than me? And sometimes think that, no, you were worse than me. You are worse than me. And yet, you are going to heaven? Yes. We can go to heaven. I'm a sinner. I'm the worst sinner. I'm the chief sinner. And why I can go to heaven? Because Jesus Christ died for me. I deserve death. I deserve the condemnation of everyone in this world. But God forgave me. God says, neither do I condemn you. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. And that's how we become saved. That's how we have our sins all forgiven. That's how we can say that we are on our way to heaven. That's how we can say, I am a sinner saved by grace. A sinner, and I can go to heaven. And yet another person who's a sinner cannot go to heaven because he did not accept the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the basis. So Jesus Christ did not let the woman off easily. The forgiveness of sin wasn't easy. It cost his life. Jesus Christ died for her. That is why Jesus Christ can say, neither do I condemn. Next one. The next thing he said, then Jesus said, go and sin no more. You see, this is significant. So having forgiven, died for her sin, having forgiven, I say that I do not condemn you, Jesus Christ said, go and sin no more. So that very sin, of course, I believe that this is a very general statement, meaning to tell the woman, you must not sin anymore. And in particular, this sin of adultery. Next time she sees the man, or the man gives her a telephone call, sorry, I'm not available anymore. And maybe she will tell the man, you also better don't sin. You better go and see the Lord Jesus Christ. Better go and see Jesus Christ. Sin no more. And that's it. And that is precisely what it means. When our sins are forgiven, we must not sin anymore. Jesus Christ died for our sins, past, present, and future. Yes. What are our sins? Even the sin of adultery. Sometimes we say this is a great sin. But no. You see in the Ten Commandments, lying also is equally. Lying, you know, is equally serious. Bearing false witness is equally serious. Dishonest is equally serious. Covetousness is equally serious. And then many of us have committed the other sins. Maybe not adultery, you know. Oh, I never committed. No murder. But have you lied? Have you bear false witness? You tell bad things? Oh, those are all serious. Sin no more. Our sins have all been forgiven. Doesn't mean all through that Jesus Christ died for our sins, past, present, and future. And then Paul says that, wow, in that case, if you have, how matter how great your sin are, and then the grace of God is greater. And then Paul quickly put a straw man and say, well, in that case, I can sin more. After that, I can, you know, I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Then after that, I can live my own life. You see, Christ died for me already. All my sins, past, present, and future. I got a blank check. I can do whatever I like and I can live my own life as I like. No. If we do that, then our conversion is not true. Then our conversion is exactly like the character of these Pharisees. Bluff. Not true, you see. Ulterior motive. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ like buying an insurance. So you buy an insurance and then you don't care. So anything happen to you, always charge the insurance. Charge the insurance. It's not true. In the matter of this, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must not sin. But sometimes we sin, don't we? And when we sin, God has forgiveness for us if we confess our sins. He is righteous and just to forgive us our sins. And then the word comes again, sin no more. Sin no more. Sin no more. There's always divine forgiveness with God. So this, I believe, is the important lesson that we learn from here. Now, if in our church, in our community, if someone has sinned and been caught doing this kind of sin, I mean sin caught, you know, red-handed or whatever it is, and we know that sin, what should be our attitude towards such a one? Should we be like the Pharisees and the scribes? condemning. No. We should be like the Lord Jesus Christ. You have no sin. We are all living in glass houses, so please don't throw stone at another person. No. But it is right. He has sinned. Then we should pray for the person, to help the person, encourage the person, counsel the person that he sins no more or she sins no more, and welcome him or her back to the community of Christians. That should be the way. We should be like the Lord Jesus Christ and not be like the Pharisees. No. Because there's always forgiveness with God. Sins have been dealt with. Sinners have to be dealt with, yes. And can't bring it to the elders and the pastors of the church, yes. That we have always to be show charity, compassion, and love for another of our kind who have committed. And see the word of God. There is always forgiveness. God wants to build you up and not destroy you completely. No. That should be our attitude. May God help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious word, your infallible, inerrant word. We pray, O Lord, that what we have learned from of us, as holy as thou art holy, and grant to us the kind of spirit and attitude which our Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated. And we know how the kind of attitude that we should have when we face another brother and know another brother who has sinned against thee. Help us, O Lord, to restore such a brother or sister in Christ. We ask for the mercy upon our own selves. Forgive us of all our sins. Here is our prayer in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.